Welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, from the Animal Specialty Center in Westchester, New York, who is a board-certified oncologist devoted to diagnosing and treating dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto for her patients is, live longer, live well, and we're here to give you hope because cancer is a treatable disease. If you'd like your question answered on the air, please email me at radiopetlady@gmail.com. We want the advice and support you get from Dr. Sue to also help others facing the same challenges. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of 8 Paws LLC and Dr. Susan Ettinger, which are solely responsible for its content, and is brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets that works directly with veterinarians to create a custom version of medications. Does your pet hate the taste of a pill, or is it too large to get down? Or do you have cats who are famously anti-pill? Best Pet RX can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid. Best Pet RX guarantees to keep trying formulations at no extra charge until they create a flavor your pet will actually like. Ask your own vet to contact Best Pet RX Compounding Pharmacy so that giving medicine can be successful and pleasant, and your pet will get well and stay well. This show is brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever with a proprietary anti-inflammatory ingredient, Alpha-G, made of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds known to provide pain relief in dogs without the side effects and risks of drugs. Canine Active is made in America by the company that has had outstanding success with their human product for people with pain who want to avoid ibuprofen and NSAIDs. Now there is Canine Active, an innovative formula for dogs to improve quality of life for the canine members of the family. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever. Good evening, Dr. Sue. This is a strange situation to be in that I, of all people who have had a couple of dogs in my life who were presumed to have cancer, one was long bone cancer in my Rottweiler Yogi Bear, and one was stomach cancer in my first adopted Weimaraner Lulu. It was just presumed. There was no fancy biopsies, no MRIs, no CAT scans. And it was treated sort of passively. And then when the animals, suddenly it was clear that they were in some kind of distress or jeopardy, it was a very peaceful and dignified and quick euthanasia. So as everybody maybe knows by now from reading my blog and from listening to some of the other experts on our shows, I've been really most anxious to talk to you, not just because you're a loving, caring person and because you stood in the sidelines and tried to shed light on what happened to Teddy, my youngest and most healthy Weimaraner, in a matter of 48 hours. But when it turned out later that all of the tests they were doing and all the interventions they were doing were missing the point that he had a raging case of, that's not really the right adjective, of cancer, of lymphoma that had taken over his liver and spleen, it made me realize that, you know, we talk on the show about the message being it's a curable disease and there's hope and you want more time and quality time. And I just don't think any or many of we pet owners understand that cancer doesn't just necessarily creep up slowly, but can just hit you like a sledgehammer. And I wonder whether this is something that you have only seen from afar, because if a pet owner discovers cancer and their animal is knocked down like run over by a train, it's too late for you, right?
Well, first of all, my condolences, Tracy.
Thank you.
I mean, we've talked, you know, before, but still, I know the wounds are still really fresh. So, and you're a very brave woman for wanting to talk about this and help other people. And I admire your strength. Truly.
Thank you for that. And I do appreciate more than ever how much emotional strength you have and your staff has, because you go through many situations in which you try to help an animal and they may not respond and you have to let them go, or they're incurable in some cases. So I understand that it's a really, I mean, I've always understood it intellectually, but emotionally, it's. I have a great appreciation for those vets that are willing to sort of be shoulder to shoulder with you. I unfortunately had an internist who was very detached and very dispassionate and very passive and very, well, we'll just wait and see. And it was really frustrating. So I don't want other people to suffer what I suffered and what Teddy suffered, which was wasted time, wasted energy, wasted suffering really barking up the wrong tree. And I think that from the very first blood work that was taken, not because my own vet even wanted it, but because I insisted on it, I sent it to you. I was lucky enough, as people that are listening could do that with Sue themselves, by the way, as a second opinion vet, as an oncologist. And you said, you got to get a liver biopsy. Something very serious is going on.
Yeah. And, you know, to go back to the thing you said earlier, I think for the cases that are like Teddy, that are really declining rapidly. I mean, the liver does so many vital things, you know, from bleeding, it makes our what are called our clotting factors. So, you know, it makes all these important factors that allow our blood to clot. And,
yeah, that's that is the heart healer around here, was the 3-day trip my sister took with me to the Tri-State Weimaraner Rescue in Virginia Beach, Virginia, to get a 10-month-old, lovingly discarded, but nonetheless discarded, blue female Weimaraner named Maisie, and she's just settling in. I think Teddy's spirit is still in the house, and sometimes she barks because maybe she feels him. I'm not sure. But okay. I'm sorry if she interrupted. She's just learning to be a radio dog. She hasn't understood when the light is on saying we are recording.
We'll give her another couple of weeks.
Exactly.
But I think, you know, for me, when the cases come in, because that would be definitely a case at my practice that would come in through the internist, one who's my husband. But I think the advantage in our practice of having the oncologist in the building, maybe not on the case, is that, you know, he might come up to me and say, do you think this could be a certain cancer? Or, you know, just make sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's. And if there's a suggestion, you know, we're going to be, you know, and sometimes owners don't even know that I'm involved in cases, you know, indirectly
right.
from behind the scenes. But that allows us to keep cancer, you know, it's, you know, on the table. And then if it is, get it to me super quickly. And, you know, there are lots of cases that, especially for lymphoma, if Carrie makes the diagnosis, we will, you know, start therapy while still under his care, under my consultation. And I think that's, you know, the advantage of luckily being at a place where there is an oncologist. But you and I have talked, there's only 300
that's
of
right.
us in the country.
That's
so
right.
Not every specialty clinic's going to have all of the specialists, you know. And
by the way, I considered coming the 3 hours down to Animal Specialty Center where you are. But by the time that even became clear to me that the specialty place I was at wasn't special enough. And I'm sorry to say that to people, but you can go to a place that, you know, has everyone with special training, at least next to their name. And a board-certified internist is also specialized in oncology. So in theory, this guy should have been really up to speed instead of being obsessively concerned in the dead of freezing winter that somehow Teddy had leptospirosis, against which he even had been vaccinated. We need to take a quick break when we come back. I really need everyone to think hard about situations in which they had their dog just go off their feed one day, and by the end of the next day, they looked like they were on death's door. I mean, it's really stunning when this happens, and I think we need to understand that speed is of the essence, and if it looks serious, it is serious. We'll be right back after this quick word. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. Pick up some of their human products for yourself when you get the Nordic Naturals Pet Omega in bottles or capsules. Get a 15% discount and free shipping every time when you go to nordicnaturals.com and put PETRADIO13 in the code box. We are also supported by the pheromone products FeelAway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. FeelAway and Adaptil spray, plug-in diffusers, and the new wipes are stress relievers that can help with anxiety or behavior issues, can reduce problems in a multi-cat household, and can also help adopted pets make the adjustment to their new homes. An Adaptil collar can help dogs with anxiety from separation, thunderstorms, or travel. We are back, Dr. Sue, the pet cancer vet. I wish for myself and for all of us that we had her much closer to home than what she is. But Sue, just to understand the speed with which cancer can happen in a dog, I guess some of us, maybe you too, have heard of people where it's a story, it's an apocryphal story. Gee, she was a really fit, youngish woman, and she was having stomach pains, and after about a week, she went to the doctor, and they did a couple of tests, and then suddenly, within weeks, she's told, oh my God, the cancer is everywhere. There's nothing we can do about it. Prepare your will. I mean, I've heard that a few times about people, but it's pretty rare that, you know, suddenly there's a few little symptoms, and then it turns out that the cancer has been galloping all along. But does it act like that in dogs often, frequently, rarely? I mean, that your dog doesn't want to eat and by the next day is clearly in discomfort, in some kind of distress, but it's unclear what body part or where. And within days, he's as good as dead?
I mean, I don't know that we can, I can, it's hard to know how frequently that happens. I mean, I think in some of the super rapidly progressive cases, sometimes they're not given the chance to see a specialist either.
Right.
You know, because
right.
They might say this is too, you know, this is moving too quickly. It's not worth it. You know, just keep the dog comfortable and things like that. And lymphoma is that cancer that we talk about. I mean, that's the one that I write about, and I encourage people, if your dog has lymphoma, you know, you want to see the oncologist the next day or the day after.
Oh, right, right.
But there are lymphomas that, you know, make the diagnosis from a lymph node aspirate. They book the appointment next week, and we call them back, and we're like, we really want to see you tomorrow. They're like, no, the dog's doing fine. And there are dogs that come in next week, and they're still doing okay. Not all of them are moving at the same, you know, speed as Teddy's case. But as a clinician, you know, I always get very nervous when I have a lymphoma that wants to wait until next week because the dog's still doing well, because I know that it can change in 24 to 48 hours and they can rapidly decline. Most cancers, in my opinion, really don't move that quickly. But
it's kind of extraordinary as humans. You know, a woman has a lump in her breast and they say, well, we should definitely do the equivalent of a needle biopsy, right? On a lump,
right,
on a dog or sometimes on a cat. And then you get the feedback. And many of we women have had these sort of scares and it comes back as, oh, phew, it was nothing. But even if it's something, they don't say, you know, drop everything, come to the hospital tomorrow. But what I now understand about dogs is, you really should drop everything and go to the oncologist, or if you can't get an oncologist, at least an internist, right away. That's assuming you have an internist who's a lot more on the ball than the one that I had. What's hard to understand, Sue, is he had slightly enlarged lymph nodes, and the only biopsy this doctor was willing to do, he didn't want to biopsy, even with a needle, the liver itself, even though the blood suggested something hideously wrong. And you and Dr. Donna both were trying at long distance to say, you got to biopsy the liver because that's where we think the problem is. So he goes for these lymph nodes. How can you have lymphoma and have lymph nodes in the neck or in the jaw, whatever that area is, that come back as negative? By the way, that takes two more days in which the dog is 2 days of suffering and much closer to death. How can that be?
Sometimes, I mean, in general, with most lymphomas, it will be in the peripheral lymph nodes, those one under the jaw, by the jaw, by the shoulders, by the knees, before it gets to the liver and spleen. And then, but there are some that I've had dogs that the lymphoma is only liver, spleen, and the external peripheral lymph nodes are completely normal. And I think that's more what Teddy was, is that he didn't progress to the liver and spleen. His was more in the liver and spleen. And those are, you know, I had another case within the last half year that was very similar where, you know, I was like, oh, this is lymphoma. We'll start treatment. We'll get, and we still couldn't save the dog even with therapy because the liver just failed on us and didn't have enough time to get it, you know, reversed.
Now, how did that dog come into you? Was it a dog just not feeling well and the person's own vet did a little bit of blood work and then sent them to you? The reason I ask is because everybody listening has to understand that I think only the owner can really lobby for this and say, this dog is incredibly ill compared to his normal. So something must really be going on, and not have a vet like I did. My own vet was at a vet conference, and have her partner say, you know, I'll give him this pain shot and this anti-nausea shot and send you home for the weekend. See if he's feeling better on Monday. I mean, that was just horrendous advice.
Yeah,
how do we impress upon people, don't wait 24 hours or 48 hours? It could make the difference between maybe stopping it in its tracks. Is that possible? So you can have your liver and spleen with cancer in them and you could stop it at least for some period of time.
Lymphoma, absolutely, because it is so responsive to chemotherapy. It's not like a primary liver cancer that surgery is the treatment of choice. If you have primary cancer of the liver, of one of the liver cells that's transformed and grown and become malignant, chemo doesn't touch that type of cancer.
I see.
But lymphoma is a very chemo-sensitive cancer, and remission rates are 90% plus, when you start chemotherapy quickly. Does that mean every dog is reversible when it's in the liver? No, but it's a very treatable cancer, and the liver can go downhill really quickly, but it also has the wonderful potential for regeneration if you can stop the process. And so, that's where, Carrie, my husband, the internist, and I were sort of like, gosh, what would we do if Teddy was there? And we were like, the thing with lymphoma is you can usually aspirate it like the lymph nodes, which is less invasive than a biopsy where you're taking a sliver of liver.
Right.
And with lymphoma, as opposed to other primary liver cancers, you'll usually be able to score in the diagnosis. And so that was one thing that, again, being on the sidelines, Monday, morning quarterbacking, that we were saying, why isn't the liver getting aspirated over biopsy, which is a less risky procedure? And sometimes, our mantra is do no harm with the diagnostics, but sometimes, and it depends on the clinician, you have to be a little bit riskier. Say there's a risk that your dog's going to bleed if we do this procedure, but there's a risk your dog's going to die if we don't, and that's always the balance. And, no doctor wants to cause uncontrollable bleeding, but, in hindsight with Teddy, we needed the diagnosis.
But the truth is it wasn't just hindsight, it was foresight. So I need to say to people, what I was feeling and knowing myself, if you have even a board certified internist and you've turned to Dr. Donna Spector, which I now really advise you to do with your own vet or even another specialist, if something goes dramatically wrong and they don't get a diagnosis really fast because they don't have the guts to do it, because this guy kept saying, well, there's a chance of bleeding. And on the side, Dr. Sue and Dr. Donna are saying, but we can manage bleeding. We need to find out what it is. It is screaming cancer to me, is what Donna said, just from the blood work. So that wasn't Monday morning quarterbacking. That was Monday morning right on the sidelines, and he didn't do it till Wednesday. And then you were writing to me and saying, but why don't you have the results yet? Didn't he send them out stat? Now, will you please explain to people what that is so people know? It turns out you got to tell your vet, not even ask them, tell them. If they're going to do a biopsy or blood work, you pay a little bit of extra to get the results quickly, right, Sue?
Right. So you're paying the lab to put that sample on top of the on the top of the pile for the pathologist, who's the doctor that looks at these cells under the microscope for a living. And so you pay a fee. It's a nominal fee. I don't even know what it is, but it's probably around $50, if that. But you're saying my case is so urgent that the clinician at the lab has to put it on top of their list. And so at our lab, and I actually, we use Antech, which is one of the biggest labs. And I have to say for cytology, for the aspirates, they used to not, even with my stat samples, I wasn't getting them. And I've really worked with them. And I have to say, if I stat a sample, I'll usually have it when I walk in the door the next morning, by 9 in the morning, if not 11 the latest. And that, I'm telling the clinician this case is really, really important, and you don't use that, willy-nilly.
That's
right. Because you don't want to do it because there's an owner who's concerned about a skin mass and a very healthy dog.
Right.
But there are people who say, well, I have to know. And I'm like, no, you don't want to abuse that privilege, even if you pay, even if someone's willing to pay for it, because the person at the lab has a lot of samples to look at. For for a biopsy, for again, so say we took the sliver of liver, which is that, you know, more tissue.
Right.
A biopsy has to be processed at the lab with formalin that, you know, have to take the tissue and put it. And so usually even if you stat a biopsy, if it's a small piece of tissue, you might get it back at the end of the next day, but it still might be 48 hours. But you're still, once that slide gets prepared with the tissue on it, the pathologist is going to look at it first and someone's going to get that typed up quickly. You know, it just kind of puts all the steps to get that report into the computer and back to your, you know, or faxed over to your clinic faster.
But you're saying that you would say, I'm saying you, a good doctor, a doctor on top of a situation, you see a dog, he was blowing up like a balloon. He was swelling all over his face. He looked like a Cane Presario, a beautiful young Weimaraner. His paws were twice their normal size. He was blowing up. And this doctor was like, well, we'll just wait and see if that or this treatment works. The antibiotics seem to be making a difference. The dog, and I said to him, is my dog dying? Do I need to prepare myself and my dog for that? Well, I wouldn't say that, but he should have said that, Sue. And it's something that if as a pet parent, you see that your dog is mortally ill and someone isn't being straight with you, you got to find someone to talk straight to you, because if there's a chance to buy good quality of time, you're not going to get it with the person dragging his heels and going, I think I'll be really conservative. He's done a terrible disservice to the owner and to the dog. I mean, you guys all work as a team. Over there, there were two internists and there's a cardiologist and a few other people, and they're all solo practitioners. They don't seem to even go to each other in the hallway and go, have you seen that dog over there of mine? I think I'm losing him. What do you think it is?
And I always tell, you know, it's one of the huge benefits of being at the practice where I work at. I mean, and I sometimes have to tell owners, you know, I already had the surgeon look at, you know, the case, like, hey, you know, informally. And I'm, you know, not just because he's my husband, because I do it with the other internist as well, because her and I share certain cases because she may have started it. And we all, you know, talk to each other all the time. Sometimes I laugh when the owner calls me. They're like, I spoke to Dr. Bonawan. I'm like, I'm sitting next to her. But yes, she told me, you know. But, you know, maybe I take that for granted, you know, because I do think it is such the norm in our practice to walk by the neurologist and say, hey, I have this weird thing going on with my kids. Will you take a quick look at it? And, you know, half the time we don't even charge the owner for it because it's just sort of second nature to us, you know, especially if it's not complicated. So, again, it's probably something that I think is the norm, but maybe it isn't in every practice.
Well, clearly it's not. We need to take a quick break when we come back. I just want to give people some sort of ABCs of what are huge red warning signs, either in your pet's condition or in not getting the kind of feedback that your gut tells you you need. Because it is the difference between life and death, and it's the difference between being haunted by something forever because so many wrong turns were taken in the road, and we're not really supposed to be the traffic cops, we the owners. But the truth is, as advocates and as like common sense, very connected to our pet owners, we need to have the courage to stand up and say, I don't feel comfortable in what you're telling me. Something's missing in this picture. We'll be back after a quick break and wrap up these thoughts, maybe end on an upbeat note if there is one, you know, something to take away that gives people some feeling of being in control or in power or behind the driver's seat or whatever. We'll be right back. The Radio Pet Lady Network is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. Pick up some of their human products for yourself when you get the Nordic Naturals Pet Omega in bottles or capsules. Get a 15% discount and free shipping every time when you go to nordicnaturals.com and put PETRADIO13 in the code box. We are also supported by the pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Feel Away and Adaptil spray, plug-in diffusers, and the new wipes are stress relievers that can help with anxiety or behavior issues, can reduce problems in a multi-cat household, and can also help adopted pets make the adjustment to their new homes. An Adaptil collar can help dogs with anxiety from separation, thunderstorms, or travel. I'm back with Dr. Sue, the pet cancer vet. Sue, you are in a practice where everybody talks to each other. I don't think it's the norm, sadly. And, you know, a lot of people might live near Yonkers in Westchester and be able to get to the Animal Specialty Center. And having gone through this, folks, let me tell you something. If it's an extra hour, if it's an extra 2 hours, do it. Because there aren't even that many board-certified internists, but it's still you're not comparing apples to apples. And, Sue, I think that the team work that you do, the team spirit that you have, and the directness with people, which is why you're such a good communicator on the radio. To be direct with an owner is the thing that I think is one of the most valuable things we can get from a vet. It's not a bunch of waffling and guessing and saying, I don't know, but I need to find out, and here's what I'd like to do, if you can afford it and if you're willing. I mean, that's really what you're hoping for, right, is somebody who says, let's get on it fast if there's a chance.
Yeah, and I think, you know, sort of being in practice now for a bunch of years, when you first are a vet or even a specialist, you never want to say, I've never seen this before, or I don't know the answer. And, you know, now with experience, there are sometimes I have to tell owners, this is unusual. I have not seen this before, but I'm going to consult with some of my colleagues and try to figure it out for you, you know, because there are some cases that, you know, I've been an oncologist, you know, since early 2000 that I'm like, that's the first time I've seen that happen.
Right.
And it can, and I know that's surprising, and I've been in high volume caseload, you know, practices, but, you know, for some owner or vets, they never want to say, I don't know what to do. And I'm sometimes comfortable saying that, but I'll figure it out, you know, or
yes.
I'll work with someone who, and I think that's, you know, there's a balance between being confident and humble.
Right.
And
also understanding that that our bodies, that our animals' bodies, are mysteries. They don't come with a handbook. So
no.
If one of them, you know, is going downhill or going south, you don't necessarily know how to find the brakes. But you know you must look for them in a hurry before it spins out of control. This other dog that you lost and began treatment on, did the dog come in really sick, not eating, lethargic, listless?
Came in very sick. I mean, actually got, you know, gurneyed in, you know, like,
wow. Were,
you know, didn't want to walk in.
Wow.
You know, and I was like, you know, most of my lymphoma patients come in pretty healthy, you know? And so I do always say, oh, this one's really sick. You know, we'll have to, you know, we're a couple steps behind in this one, but, you know, we always give it a shot. But there are, and it's very frustrating. There are some cases where, and so that one actually had a questionable, most likely lymphoma diagnosis, and we had to repeat the liver biopsy and stat it and all that. And, you know, the liver biopsy was a very risky procedure in this dog. The dog ended up arresting. So, again, it goes to show you that these procedures are not benign, but I can tell you that if I didn't do the biopsy, the dog was going to die anyway. And the dog died, and it was a very frustrating case. You know, you never want the dog to die because of your procedure. But again, there are some cases, you know, that if you don't know how to treat it. And so that one, interestingly, turned out to not be lymphoma when we got the biopsy back.
Oh, I'll be damned.
After, even though the original aspirin said suggestive of lymphoma. But the
wow. So it would have been a different treatment anyway.
And
you
was,
had to have that information in order to know how to treat it.
And it was carcinoma, and it turned out that the dog wasn't going to, chemo couldn't have helped this dog, but it was the roller coaster of the ride of thinking it was lymphoma,
yes.
Which was a very treatable cancer, and then finding out it was actually carcinoma. So, you know, but again, it was the same thing. We needed to do the liver biopsy. His bleeding times weren't safe. Her bleeding times were too long. We had to give her fresh frozen plasma. It was a very expensive endeavor for this family. and, you know, heartbreaking, to tell you the truth.
Well,
you know?
I'll say that Healthy Paws Insurance, which I've never gone out of my way to plug, and we've come to the end of the show, but I'll tell you, they were unbelievable. I had no idea if they were going to pay for the plasma. The internist said to me, you know, this is really expensive for a big dog. It could be as much as $1,500. I said, I don't know if insurance will cover it. She said, do you want to call them first? I said, Teddy is so sick. If there's even a 20% chance that might make a difference, I'll just take the hit myself if I have to. Mm-hmm. Healthy Paws paid for everything. The minute that it was clear when I was sending in the claim forms by a fax that he had died, the response in email was extremely very sensitive, very thoughtful, very like it acknowledged that it knew I must be having a really hard time to have to mm-hmm. send this stuff in when he had just died. And then I got a condolence card signed by all the people that worked at Healthy Paws Insurance with special messages from the two people that had been emailing me. And I have to say that that's totally incredible. As I said to the owner of the company, you know, here you've just paid out the percentage on a $10,000 bill and you've lost a paying customer, but you've gone out of your ways to let me know that your company really cared. Mm-hmm. And I have to say to people, this is not one of those companies that looks for the fine print and nickels and dimes and says, well, we don't cover that. And that wasn't necessarily necessary. They just immediately paid everything that was there and cared. It makes a difference. You know, your choices that you can make are very different when 70, 80, or 90% of the bill is going to be covered. It makes a big difference. It's a horrendous thing no matter what, but being able to try these various diagnostics and treatments and know that you went as far as you could, I can't imagine what it's like to have to say and cry for the rest of your life, I can't do anything because I can't afford it, and wonder your whole life if the animal would have survived because you don't even know. You know, I mean, you just always will have this huge question mark. So, Dr. Sue, thank you for doing what you do, for being there for Teddy and me as best you could from a distance. And I just want to say to people again, if you see something, do something. And we mean right now, because it can be the difference between buying some quality time and coming to a very bad end. So, Sue, I hope you have lots of happy, good endings in the weeks and months ahead. And that the ones that you don't succeed with, at least you gave it your best. And that's all that anybody can hope for.
My condolences again, Tracy.
Thank you. A good night to everybody. Keep your pets safe. And Dr. Sue and I will be talking to you again soon. Bye for now.